You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
This is Derek White Sky Cloud, your fellow neighborhood psychic medium, and you're listening to bbsradio.com, and the show is called Between Two Worlds. This could be a really fascinating time for chat with me on the phone or to talk online today. I got a little bit of a laryngitis, and some people have actually said I sound a little bit like Wolfman Jack.
Oh yeah, here's Wolfman Jack here.
Any of you guys out there remember who Wolfman Jack is? That tells you how old you are. When we were kids, we used to listen to his voice on radio. So it was quite the show. He actually was very, very humorous. Anyways, I'll let you all know that tonight we'll be doing some mediumship, and I'll be talking about other things too. Actually, I did some paranormal investigating. And you'll be, okay, just hang on a second here. So a lot of people asking questions. Where do I go? Okay, audio. Left page. This is kind of interesting. Okay. Anyways, what happens here, like those of you actually listening to the first time or actually not listening to the first time, if you want to listen to the show or learn more about my page or about what I do, I work as a psychic medium and a paranormal investigator. I've done different varieties of things through the work in my field. Also do a lot of health shows in my show. So I'm trying to create a really large variety, broad version of information, not just mediumship all the time. That's why I try to keep it very constantly interesting. Anyways, to let you all know, I'd like to welcome everybody else. Welcome to the show, and I also want to acknowledge my affiliates, and pardon me, and those are actually also that I've actually put on my site who are friends of good friends that actually are supporting me in what I do, my work. And the ones I want to also acknowledge right now is I want to acknowledge Ghost Radio and the guys from Down Under Lee Ramsey's show. She picks us up in Australia, which is fantastic. We also have Go It Began, and actually they're up in the Netherlands. They're picking us up from the syndication, just same as Underworld. And I also want to acknowledge APSR Radio, the Paranormal Talk Radio. These guys are Dr. Jimmy and Heather. They've actually had me on their show almost every month for almost about 2.5 to 3 years. And they are just finishing off their, pardon my voice, they're just finishing off their radio program, and they're going into internet television, which I think is great. Pardon my typing here, I'm just letting people know what's happening. And also, we're also going to acknowledge, too, is that we actually have a chat room. And I'm just about to open that up. I'm just coming here a little bit late today because my computer was giving me problems. And everybody is noticing the weather's changing a lot right now, and it's absolutely phenomenal. The weather is just getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And I notice it's getting better all the time. Oh, my God. I'm trying to talk here. You know how it feels like? You know, people, I find it really funny. Here's one thing people say. You have a hoarse voice. My voice does not sound like a horse. I mean, it'd be going, you know, like that sound. But it has a, it's kind of raspy. And I don't know. It's really difficult to explain it. It's a raspy sound. I'm trying to get the cups of service here. Just give me a moment here to drink some water. Anyways, we're taking some calls. Those want to call in for actually want to listen to or actually ask any questions about any kind of reading. If they want to get a reading, any question they want to ask about. The toll-free numbers are 877-876-5227. And they're all toll-free. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. And those are actually people that actually international call radio. You can actually call in as well. And I think some of our people are listening in. I think they probably woke up the show. It's actually getting started. Hey, they're listening in to us. I think they're going to say, we hear you. We hear you. Great. Okay. Now I'm getting in the chat room, getting it started here. Anyways, to open it up, just give me one moment here, and let's see if this is right. You can hear in the background someone's mowing their lawn right now. They decided to mow the lawn. Right. I'm in this wonderful, cute little room that it's contained. And I'm not sure if you guys can actually hear me that well, but I don't know why the guy has decided to mow his lawn. I'm not sure if you can hear that in the background. It's funny. You know, you get people out there. Anyways, now let's see here. I'm just getting this the chat room open, and this is one more thing here. And I think we're ready to go. And it says, we're in. Hey, we're in. Welcome, guys, in the chat room. Okay. Now, if you ever want to go to the chat room, just go to Between Two Worlds chat room and welcoming you in here. And if you have any questions here also on the show, you're welcome to come in and ask any questions. And things sound pretty good. Anyways, now, I have been busy this last little week, and I've actually been doing some paranormal investigating. I got this very strange call. And actually here in British Columbia, here in the Boquitlam area, they call it Boquitlam, which is part of Burnaby and Coquitlam. Those of you who live in the BC area will know what that means. Some of you who may not know what that means, that's fine. We all know where we're going. The information that I'm going to share with you, I did some paranormal investigating in this apartment, and actually there is about six individual apartments that are back-to-back to each other. And they, when they called me, come over, and when I walked to this place, I mean, this place is very old. And hang on a second. I mean, we'll put you guys on hold. Hang on a second. I'm going to get a producer. Producer? No, what's going on? I guess just me and you guys mowing the lawn. Okay, just give me one momento. How's that? I silenced that really quick. Okay. You don't know, sometimes we actually get neighbors that get, when it gets to be a really hot day, and they like to have a nice bottle of beer or two or maybe three, and then they decide to mow the lawn, and they don't care what happens after that. Anyways, this is the first time this ever happened to me, ever at all. We had a moment of silence just for a few seconds there. Anyhow, I was at the site, and I mentioned about going to this place, and I walked into this apartment, and I get, you know, sometimes you get that kind of like your heart starts to pound, and it's kind of an eerie feeling, like, you know, there's someone behind you, but you turn around, there's nobody there, and this is actually in the daylight, and it's very strange how that turns out. I mean, it's really strange how things are. And when you walk into and a building, most time at nighttime, the building itself, you know, has more activity than it does in the daytime. This actually, the building had a lot of activity even during the day, and it was quite interesting how it turned out. But I was walking upstairs in the building, and I would say the building's probably, well, they're saying they built it around in the early 1960s. So it's been around for a long time in an old neighborhood area, 1950s, 1960s. And when I walked up in the place, and I noticed that there actually was, in down the hall, walked in the apartment, and the first thing I felt was there was like quite a few people in one room of the apartment. And I'm talking about living, I'm talking about past. When I walked around, I walked in the building, and the first thing that you want to say to the person, you're like, hi, how are you? But automatically I had information there was somebody there that wanted to, you know, like, want to talk, like, right now. And when I walked in and I looked around, the people greeted me and looked around. They knew what my work was. And I realized after, I said, you know, there's a little girl in this house. And, like, I did live in the apartment, but for some reason, this took place about 10 years ago. But I feel like I want to say the little girl jumped over the balcony, like she jumped over the balcony, almost like to her death. I feel like there was a fear of her jumping over the balcony to her death. And people came back and told me 10 years ago there was a fire in the building, and it burned the building pretty badly. And there were some people that were forced out, apparently, that supposedly there were some deaths that did take place. And now, the reason why these people asked me to come down to the apartment, because of the activity, paranormal activity, their little grandson comes over, and I think the family lives there, but the grandparents visit. But their grandson is very gifted, and the boy's about 5 years of age, 5, 6 years old. And he has the ability to talk to spirits. I mean, you know, most kids do. But this little boy is so special. He talks to his grandma, literally. Now, the grandparents, I got them to take some pictures with their digital camera of whoever they feel is present in the room. The strongest of their activity then is when late in the evening, and that night, I would say I got there about about 9 in the evening. It wasn't that late, but 9 in the evening. And it was beginning to become duskier. And the place itself was beginning to become more active. And the grandparents show me a couple of photographs they've already developed from their digital camera. And one photograph was like major smoke. Like, it's a smoky photograph. Like, you know, yes, the people themselves did smoke. Because you have to ask those questions. Did you smoke a cigarette, you know, when you took these pictures? No. Okay. Do you smoke inside your apartment? No. Where do you smoke? I smoke outside. We're not allowed to smoke in the building. Okay, fine. Because it is a bylaw here. Right? So basically, they smoke in the balcony, and they're not supposed to smoke in the building. Now, this is actually taken, the photograph I got here right in front of me, and the picture itself was taken in deep, like basically way towards the bedroom area, and it looks like very thick smoke, and it's like it's convoluted all over the place. But the picture of itself, there's one particular one, I swore it actually has a face of a person, like a woman's face on it. And so I asked the people, I said, there's a face here, and she says, the grandmother says, yeah, I know. And I said, this person looks like a woman with a pair of glasses. And she says, look at this, and she brought her daughter's picture. And, oh, not her daughter or her sister, an older woman, and a photograph of her, and I looked at the photograph, looked at the picture, and they're exactly the same. Totally exactly the same. I was actually quite shocked. And I thought, wow, she made her appearance. So basically, I felt that this is one of the grandmothers that actually is, or one of their aunties that's watching over the family, especially the boy, because the boy keeps on saying he's playing with her all the time. And this is something that most people, most children in spirit actually have that neat skill and that neat, because they're so open about themselves, children are so open about themselves, so they haven't really experienced the pain and issues and the darkness and the attitude and, you know, I mean, the bad things. And so that's why most of the kids are the ones that will, sometimes they're so afraid, they don't know what it is, and we're trying to figure out what to say to them. And what I find is strange, that everyone, that how come the kids, even up to about maybe 10, 12 years of age, are so open about spirit? And yet some of them I met were never afraid of spirit. But I really feel that a lot of times, too, it depends on who you're brought up with. You know, like there are people out there that have family that don't want to believe in this, which is fine. Sometimes they grow very afraid of this. And yes, there are situations in life that we come across that we have entities that are very angry. And I'm sure some of you people out there have actually, some of you are paranormal, maybe also possibly paranormal investigators. And I'd also like to welcome our people in the room right now. And I actually want to welcome APSR Heather. Heather is here. Hey, welcome, Heather. She's one of our people, one of the people that actually had me come on her show once a month. Her and Dr. Jimmy, and they actually have a show called APSR Radio. And they themselves are paranormal investigators, just like myself. And Jimmy and Heather actually are working on doing paranormal television, and they're going to the next step. You know, they've already done paranormal radio for the last 4 or 5 years, and now they're going to paranormal television, and they're doing this on site. So basically, when they travel, wherever they go on site, you get to see what they do, and you could type it up on the computer, on your keyboard, and ask them questions while they're on site. And that's pretty cool. and I've always encouraged a lot of people, if you can come up with some really great ideas to create awareness to the public, that's the best thing, because it'll benefit that person or persons or even people around you more than have trying to find somebody you can sell something to. Because if you look at it, I mean, Heather will agree with me, and anybody else out there agree with me. When you're involved in media, give me a second for water again. When you're involved in media, they themselves like to put some drama into any kind of paranormal investigating shows. You know that. We know that. And so most time they like to say, well, you know what, let's have it where one of you guys don't get along with each other, and we'll create a problem just to make it more exciting. And that's not what it's about, because you're supposed to be considered as a team to work together, not against each other. And some of these TV programs have done it before where they played along with it, and it's not something that's actually fun, because I thought it was kind of stupid, really. But if you had somebody coming on the show itself who's new, it's a different story, because they themselves don't know what all the paranormal investigating is about. And so they're experiencing for the first time. But I will say this, I highly impress this. If any of you ever wanted to do a paranormal investigation, with anybody who's professional, don't do this alone. Like basically, I always tell people, don't try this at home. But don't do this alone. You got to be with people that are professionals, like myself or like Heather, Dr. Jimmy, or anybody else out in the field. And there are paranormal investigators out there all across the world. Contact them. If you have an issue, deal with it there with them. If you're going to try something to experiment with, be careful, because if you don't know what you're dealing with, there are things you can get caught up in and are not nice, and there are a lot of nasty things that you can get into. I had a situation where I got caught up with a young boy who was possessed and his eyes turned black. I mean black, not just his irises. I'm talking about the whole all set of eyes, and his eyes were totally just shiny black, and there was a possession. and it's happened twice. Two individual men, the young boys. And why does it happen to young boys? Because they like to pretend that they can do anything invincibly and walk into graveyards at nighttime and think it's a joke. Well, guys, it ain't no joke. You can't just go in there and start playing a game in a graveyard and think it's a joke, because it's not. There are things in there that are pretty nasty, and don't forget, those grave sites have been there for a lot of years. I'm not talking about 100 years or 200 years, a long time. They're just bodies possibly buried on top of each other. People could have been, at some point, people could have could have done some sort of a sacrifice on that in the graveyard centuries, generations before. So you have to be very, very careful what you play with, and including people who are messing with Ouija boards. I don't recommend it. I was involved with it once, not my own Ouija board, and I never played it, but somebody else did. I was in a room with someone else, a bunch of young boys. It was their birthday. I was a child then, young boy. And I've seen a young Jewish boy lay his Star of David to prove that it was actually called the devil board, to prove that the board is not of light. And he laid the Star of David symbol on top of the board, and the board burned. The board itself didn't burn itself specifically, but the frame of the board burned the coffee table black. Because he said, if you're of God's light, then you be true. But if you're not of God's light, then you will burn. And it burned. And I'm telling you, I was there, I watched it, my heart was pounding so hard, I went, oh, okay, how would you feel to be in a room and you saw something like that? It ain't fun. A lot of my curiosity, I've been like that since I was a kid. I've watched spirit since I was 8 years old. Beginning of it, I thought every kid had the same gift, had the ability to see things that did not make any sense. And I mean, sometimes people say, well, I mean, I have to put it this way, I even saw my first fairy, and I'm not talking about one who puts his hands on his hips. I'm talking about, no pun intended, guys, I have seen one that small when I was a kid. And it was, when I'm saying small, it was about 10, 12 inches tall. And it had the ability to go through electrical lines, because basically when I saw this, I call it a brownie, because it, to me it was, that's my feeling, it's different. It wasn't even a fairy, it was like a brownie. Different kind of little people. And it came through electrical line, and it unscrewed the light bulb in the ceiling, and it reached out with a little arm and looked down at me, and I'm looking out at it, and going like, oh, okay. And it wasn't my imagination. I'm a kid. I'm not even drinking, you know. I'm 12 years old. And I realized after, now this is in Brandon, Manitoba, in Canada, and in Manitoba, it's considered like a lot of like Georgia, Alabama, so to speak, because it's considered, this part of Canada is considered one of the most oldest of ghosts. Oh, Manitoba has got the highest rating of ghosts next to Ontario in Canada. And a lot of paranormal activity there, major paranormal. I got a lot of photographs taken as well as sent to me by people who actually were paranormal investigators. And also I have witnessed, being in Winnipeg myself, did a seance, talked to spirits who were actually rapping on the walls and the ceilings, making contact with me to pass the message on to someone else. Now, I wasn't trying to do that. They just did. Because it was the way people practiced that tradition by mediumship since the late 1800s, that they would contact entities through rapping on tables, on ceilings, or on walls. I even went outside myself while this is happening to find out where the rapping come from. But we even had neighbors from upstairs come downstairs and telling us to quit banging on the floor, and we weren't. We went outside. There's nobody banging the walls because the walls are concrete. So we knew then that there was actually contact with spirit by banging on the ceiling and walls. So it depends on the areas and how you are making contact with spirit. But I was just giving someone a message from their auntie, the great aunt, and the ceiling itself was so active, just constantly like rap, rap, rap. Just like that, just do nothing but rap, 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 rap. And it was not, it would not stop rapping until I asked the question, and then it, you either yes or no. So these things do happen at times, and including your electrical systems, they're very active too. Televisions activate, whether you get white noise. Pictures of people on it that look like shadows. We had the same thing again happen in Winnipeg where there was a, you know how when the TV finishes around midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning and then you got no station and you got that, you know, all you get is black and white sand. And with about 3, 4 in the morning, you would see shadows of people's heads going across or walk across or standing in the television. But when I'm here, I am, but I didn't have all the equipment with me. I was standing there watching, and I could see them there. But one thing I actually noticed, when I went to bed, when I watched all of this, and I decided to go to bed, I went into my room that I was staying at, and I just finished using the computer, and I put my, you know, those pull tabs that has those sticky things on the back of them. I just wrote something down, put on the computer. I mean, it's a fresh one. Put on the computer. And I was ready to hit sack now. I just turned the lights off. I have a side light on. I saw a shadow run across, walk across the room and hit my tab, a little piece of paper, off the computer, and it fell on top of the keyboard. Now, it wasn't just blown off. It just didn't fall off. I watched it. It smacked it off. It's amazing how something like that would actually knock it off, a piece of paper, to get my attention. So you get people in spirit like that. They'll make contact with you if they can, and they'll follow you to let you know that they're there. And at the time, the rapping took place, the reason why it took place, because this particular great aunt wanted me to go to this home that she once lived in outside of Winnipeg. And it was still there. Nobody was living in it. It was all locked up, deadbolted. And the great niece asked me if I would like to go out there. Well, I wasn't really trying to want to go out there yet because I had so many things on my schedule. I gave up. And I said, okay, I will go. Because if spirits bother me, there's a reason I have to be there. So I left early in the morning. We went out there. Amazing. The place was amazing. She brought her brother with her, and they unlocked it. I walked right in. This house has not been lived in for over 200 years. And the furniture was still there, as if nothing ever was taken out or moved. Everything was still in its place, all the furniture. I couldn't believe it. So, I went around the place, and we were actually checking the place out. And I walked in through the area on the left, which was the dining area, if I believe. There was a piano and a stereo system. Now, you're thinking stereo as in, you know, stereo. No, no. This stereo system actually was something that you used a battery, that you put the needle on top of the battery, and the battery would spin. That was their record player. And I thought, oh, this is cool. So, that's how old this house was. Like I said, there was hardly any dust in the house, but nobody's been in the house for over 200 years. They had just had it all locked up. The funny thing, because a lot of the times, the families in Winnipeg or Brandon, Manitoba, or any kind of parts of Manitoba or Alberta, they don't like to tear down their homes that's been in the family for generations. They'll keep them there. To them, they're just, you know, loving homes, heritage buildings that we call them. But it's something that we've always enjoyed. People have always enjoyed to look back or maybe walk through the house once in a while and just to see what the place was like or how it's been taken care of. But no one's ever disturbed this house for over 200 years because it's way back off the highway, way in the bush. The family themselves who own this house actually have a large corporate business, so it's family-oriented, family-owned. So there's... sentimental value to this particular place and home or family. And anyways, I walked around, and before going any further, during this reading I did for the lady, and I got a message back from her that she was supposed to find a box within a box, a little box within a box. And it didn't make any sense to me. She says, find the box within a box. So when I was in the house, now there's no lights in the house, nothing. There's no electricity. This house is old. And lucky for us, we had daylight. But again, we were depending upon just the light. But the area that I was in hardly had any light, so we had a couple flashlights. But I was depending upon my skills, and I reached behind the piano, and I noticed there was actually a little wooden box sitting by the piano on top of another type of table, small table. And I reached over, and I tried to reach. I mean, I really had to reach. And I pulled the box up over around it, laid it down on the counter. It was a wooden box. It was a size about 18 inches wide by 12 inches in width and about, I would say, four inches in deep. And I opened it up. And what I saw inside, actually, look, there's a felt pad, and it folds back in half. And there's an inkwell, some pens, a dry inkwell, some pens, and some other things that was in there in the case. And what I noticed, actually, what this was, actually, was a writer's box for people who write letters. Hey, guys, there is this thing called writing letters. We forgot what email is all about, don't we? Or writing letters are all about. Anyways. When I looked through the box, and then I pulled back the pad, I pushed it back, and inside that pad, or behind it, underneath it, there's another smaller box inside, so I pulled that out. And I opened the box inside, and there were some papers. Lots of papers. They're all folded up. To me, they look like documents. So I thought, oh, this is cool. You know, something is really old. I like looking at old documents, things that may have history to it. So I opened it up, and here in that whole situation, it was given the person who owned the property was from England, and that person, that family, owned a hotel in England. I can't say the name. But they owned a hotel. This hotel actually was quite famous back then, as it is today. And so basically, the reason why we're supposed to find those documents, to let that great niece know that she can actually take possession of this property in England. Take the property back. Interesting part of it was, when we got back and she contacted the people that, you know, were, somehow she made contacts to find out about these documents. She said if she decided to take back the properties or to make claim of it, all she had to pay was the back taxes, and she's an owner of a $4 billion hotel. I went, okay. No wonder she moved to Canada. But it's really interesting how that all worked out. I got laryngitis, guys. Some of you are actually coming on right now later on time. So my voice is raspy somehow. Some people say I sound like Rod Stewart. And sometimes some people think I sound like Wolfman Jack. You know?
Hey, Wolfman Jack here. 1960s. Old moldy oldie. Listen to that Power of Love.
Yeah, I remember. I used to listen to him. Anyways. Yeah, it's a shriek. I have a bit of a shriek right now. Not Shrek. Anyways, in the investigation, we weren't done yet, and we were upstairs. And they asked me to come in the room, in one room, and there was actually a bedroom. And the bedroom itself, apparently, her grandmother had passed, and she was the last person who lived in the house. And she died about 20, 25 years earlier, previously. And when she passed away, I guess her false teeth, we thought we were sure those are her false teeth, sitting in a little white box on the vanity. Some of you may not know what a vanity is. It looks like two drawers on each side, a little thin drawer in the center, chair you sit on in front of it, and a big, huge, round mirror in the front. They call it a vanity for people that are vain, like to be in the mirror. But there on the front of the vanity was a white box, and when I came in, I saw this in the vanity, and the girl said to me, she says, do you want to know something? I just finished covering that up with this kerchief, grandma's kerchief, because apparently she saw the kerchief up against the mirror. And I said, well, let's try something. So I took the kerchief and I placed it on top of the teeth. And grandma didn't need them anymore. So I placed them on the teeth, and I said, well, Grandma, if you don't want us to see your teeth or even to, you know, bother you, just feel free. If you got to do something, you know, make them disappear, it's up to you, whatever. So we left the room for about not even 2-3 minutes. We came back in the room, and the cloth, again, was thrown against the, back up against the vanity. But there was no box of teeth. They were gone. I just found that interesting. I said, see, Grandma made sure that she wouldn't let you know that, she didn't want you to see her teeth. And but also, too, she was being gracious and not let you know that actually was her that came in the room. But even her dresses, her old dresses, were still hung on the closet. Like I said, This house had history, absolute history. I have not been in a house like this in a long, long time. You live in BC, you don't come across that many houses that are that old either. I mean, we may have some here in BC, British Columbia, about maybe 125, 150 years old. British Columbia is not as old compared to the eastern part of Canada, and but it also has history of its own. We do have a lot of paranormal investigations done here with some major hauntings. There is a place that I want to go to that I've been dreaming about lately, which I already know I'm going to do it, and with the help of my mom, because those of you out there may not know, my mom passed away a couple weeks back. Now she's going to be helping me in my work. Yay. I miss her, but I know her well. She's going to be helping me even more when she's able to. But there is something I'm going to actually do, and to let you folks know out there. There's a place in British Columbia that used to be a prison, a real prison. It was a federal penitentiary. They closed it, and they made it into a restaurant. Some of you might know what it is, some of you may not. This place is very haunted, even during the day. One lady told me a couple of days ago, she said she went down to this place, and she ordered a meal, and she said she felt really creeped out. And she ordered spaghetti, I think, or something like that. She said she ordered spaghetti. And this woman would never lie. She would tell the truth. And she said she had to go to the washroom, came back, and she, it was her girlfriend and herself. And she went to the washroom, came back, and she was eating, and she looked, and her girlfriend looked at her, and she says, "Don't look now, but there's something written on the wall beside you." And she says, "What?" And she says, "Look." And she looked back, and she's like, "Whoa, there was writing on the wall." And in a way, I want to say that somebody could take in spaghetti and wrote it on the wall. Apparently, it was someone's blood that it came through the paint. And their name, they're writing their name through the wall of the paint. The blood didn't run. Like most people think the blood ran. The blood doesn't run. It wasn't wet blood. It was dry blood, like a brown look blood. And it came through the paint. And the guy's name was Gary. Gary or Jerry. That his name came up on the wall. And apparently, I think, he was murdered there. Now, I've never been to this place yet. But can you imagine going there, sitting down, have a bite to eat, and someone greets you in spirit? Now, the booths are divided up in prison bars, between the prison bars. So you're sitting inside the jail room. Each person, the customer, sits inside the jail room. So why would anybody feel like they need to go be in a restaurant? You know, go to a restaurant that actually was previously a prison. But you know, think about it. If you don't pay your bill, they'll lock you up. Or they make you wash dishes. Or there's a sick young guy by the name of Gary, one of the two. But it's going to be interesting because having to be participate in this one here has been really good. We're doing some paranormal investigating. I got a friend of mine who was my cameraman, and we'll be going down there doing that trip in the next little while. So we're going to be working on doing some video. I got one video done so far. We did a paranormal investigation in a theater that was haunted. And that was based on a one woman and two men. It was a love triangle. A woman was murdered there back in the 50s. Her spirit roams there, and it was actually a projectionist that passed away, and his spirit roams there. He haunts the place. So we did a video on that one, and that's going to be working on, that one's been developed now, so we're going to be working on getting these ready and bring them out to let you know what's been going on. In this area, we're going to be, right now, the time of year, whenever there's a full moon and a new moon, guaranteed there's more activity than there is actually anything happening between that. And you know, someone in this room is being really funny. They said, "Derek is really tall. he'll scare the ghosts. I'm not that tall. I may be walking tall. I'm 5'10". But I get along with most of the spirits most of the time. But you'll see some of the things that I've done in my... If you ever go to my website, you'll see I got pictures in there. And on my page, I have the Ghost Spirits and Things page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Have a boo through. And I put little sound effects in there to make it look a little more inviting for you folks to go into. And you'll see some things in there. I've also added some things, pardon me, other people's websites in there as well, because I support them. I try to let others know that there are other people like them around, and like they're paranormal investigators. And so I like to, you know, like for example, the Missouri Paranormal Investigators. We do have the Missouri Paranormal Investigators. The guys that actually I did some investigating for on radio with them, I helped them solve a case. So I always try and support others, and you'll see, if you ever want to go to my links and banners page, you'll see there's a whole list of people that I try to help and support, because again, we all need to work together as a team at times to support each other, because a lot of us, you know, there's very few of us around, really, if you think about it. There are very few of us around that actually can do this kind of work. And if anybody thinks it's easy, it's not that easy. You know, if you can handle, let's put it this way. If you can handle walking in the dark with your eyes closed and not show fear, you can handle anything. Because pretty well, that's exactly what it feels like when you're walking into an unknown place. Whether it's indoors or out, and you're taking chances where you walk. Now, yes, you may walk into your own partner once in a while and step on their toe and scare each other, but one of you has to hold the camera. Don't break the camera. Make sure you have plenty of batteries and a lot of flashlights. And take it calm, take it easy. What I would recommend also do is use prayers of protection before you even start. If you ever did decide to do any paranormal investigating, I would recommend to be there during the daytime to check it out, make sure that you know where all the escape doorways are, because if by some chance that the building is old and you don't know where all the access of escaping are, and if something does happen, you're going to be trapped in there. Guaranteed, you're going to have a heck of a time getting out. There are some places in here, in where we are here in BC, where some people did a paranormal investigating, and one was a butcher shop, an old butcher shop. They used to cut meat in the basement. Like they do all the gutting of animals in the basement, like it looked like a dungeon, and all the meat market was upstairs. When they did the investigation, those people went downstairs. Someone didn't bring his flashlight. Tripped and fell, panicked, were trapped. They had to wait for hours and hours and hours to figure out how to get out of there because there was no lights on. So the guys did get out. I wasn't there. Those guys did get out. But they learned a lesson. You don't go into something that you haven't previously experienced before you got there in the daytime. The thing is, you have to work, you know, be prepared all the time. You have to write notes, do everything, make sure everything's correct, set in place. Like, you know, when you're making appointments to do something for someone, to go visit someone, do any kind of investigation, you make sure you come prepared. And once in a while, it doesn't hurt to carry a crucifix with you. Not one that you stab a vampire with, by the way, written in here. But you carry, you know, if you believe in rosary beads, have one for yourself. One is blessed. Carry one with yourself, because it gives you that confidence knowing that God's with you all the time. If you're a non-believer, that's okay. Sometimes I get people as skeptics that want to challenge the skill, challenge what they think they can handle, you know. I've had a few skeptics with me on site, and those skeptics became believers, really believers. And that's is what I enjoy, to watch them get scared. No. The pleasure of watching them go. No. You have to learn to get used to the idea of going into dark places, you know. I mean, I'm used to being, when I'm on the farm, I walk out in the dark, you know, walked home in the dark. I was out in the country, by the way. I walked 3 miles home, you know, if your car breaks down or if you had no access to a vehicle going into the city. You live out in the country, out in the farm, you're walking 3 miles home, you're totally in the dark. There's no night lights. You're walking in the dark, completely in the dark. You know, so you're depending upon your skills to get home. And if you scare yourself, I mean, you can easily scare yourself. Just listen to the sounds of whatever's out there in the dark. And if you hear coyotes or wolves or little chirpitches at nighttime, even crickets, and some people scare themselves senseless. Or imagine all these stupid things in your head, and all of a sudden you're running like crazy. And there's been times a few people got scared themselves, that are from the city, scared themselves so badly, and down the country road, the gravel road, and they run into a barbed wire fence. And I know what it feels like to run into a barbed wire fence. I've been there. I was chased by a bull one time, and I wasn't looking at the fence. I was looking at the bull. I wanted to make sure I wouldn't get hit. And I ran to the barbed wire fence. I flipped over and cut my chest. I know what it feels like. Yes, there is a difference between cows and bulls. In the field like this, I mean, like I said, you get used to the darkness. And I always find that the night lights are the most peaceful for me. And like my grandfather's taught me something years ago. He told my mom this, told me, and it was passed down to me. And my grandfather said, like my grandfather used to work for a cemetery. He used to be one of the people that was involved as, he was a caretaker of the park. He cut the grass and that kind of thing. I think he was doing it before. This is when he was younger. My grandfather was always asked the questions, you know, aren't you afraid what happens in the cemetery? My grandfather used to always say, I would never be afraid of what's in the cemetery. It's the living I'm afraid of. Because the thing is that no one's ever used to, you know, some people, they can scare themselves to death, so to speak. But actually, in this field, I find it very exciting. To me, it's a challenge. I don't challenge people and say I've outdone him or outdone her. I'm doing it because I like to do it for myself. I find it exciting. And some of you may have been out there, you've already seen what you've seen or thought you saw, or you know, maybe you have a story. One day, I will ask you folks to tell your stories. Have you phone me and call. Actually, you know what? I got 3 minutes here. If anybody wants to phone me right now and tell me their scariest story they've ever had with a ghost. And I would love to hear from you guys. The phone number is 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. So if anyone wants to call in and tell me their most scariest story, I'd love to hear it. You know, it's almost like a little Halloween thing, but Halloween's well far away yet. But something you felt that you thought was real that scared you. These are toll-free numbers. Or if you feel like if you're kind of shy not to call in, you can always email me and I can talk about your story next following Tuesday. Anyways, my throat is getting dry, getting hoarser and hoarser all the time. So I think I'll be shutting it down. Next week, I'm going to be talking about, again, the paranormal investigations, and I'd also like to be talking again about mediumship. So if anybody wants to call in, ask a question you want to ask regarding mediumship or anything about question about their future in life is concerned, feel free to call. And also, June the 3rd, that's on a Sunday. Yes, it is. June the 3rd. Barbara Leonard is starting up the online spiritual chapel in White Rock, British Columbia. First church service, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Looking forward to seeing you guys there. Barb is doing this program with video, and it'll be actually, once it's video, then she's going to be transferring to BBS Radio. Those of you who may not be able to get to see the program in church, per se, Barb is going to actually have it put online on BBS Radio, so you actually can actually see and witness the church services that Barb does. I will be doing one of the church services for Barb July the 1st. So, again, this is the very first online videoed program that we're doing for BBS Radio. So we're looking forward to Dawn and them to get us hooked up. Anyways, folks, I'm getting hoarser and hoarser. It's been great having a chat with you all. Too bad not everybody had to call in all at once, but that's okay. I just wanted to share some of my stories. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys next week. In the meantime, in the between time, this is Derek White, Sky Cloud. You're listening to Between Two Worlds on bbsradio.com. It's been a blast, guys. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. For those of you who want to call in or tell me your story, please write to me. It's whitesskycloud@yahoo.com. Those of you who want to get a reading, I got PayPal. And give me a call, 604-818-8375. Or just email me at whitesskycloud@yahoo.com again. Okay, guys, take care. It's been wonderful to have a chat with you. Bye.